You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Following a breakthrough year that has seen him emerge as one of Aotearoa's most exciting new electronic pop artists, Māori queer musician Arden England is entering a powerful new creative chapter with the release of Whai Mai Rā, his first ever Te Reo Māori project, a three-song body of work bringing together language, queer visibility and contemporary Māori expression in the world of high-energy electro-pop. Joining me to kōrero all about it, welcome to the show. How are you doing this morena?
Kia ora. I'm doing well. Can't complain. Life is pretty good. Busy, but good.
That's great. That's an amazing... Sometimes people are like, yeah, like I'm a bit tired, you know, just having my coffee, but I like that. Like, you're ready for the day.
I'm born for this. I'm up at 6:30. I go to the gym. So by the time 8 o'clock rolls around, you know, my day's begun.
Oh, amazing. How was the gym this morning?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, really good. I love to start my day like that. It just kind of gets me in a good headspace, especially when I'm around releases and stuff and there's a lot of interviews and a lot of moving parts. It's, you know, it's all a big juggling act. So that's a non-negotiable for me, is to start my day like that. Sets me up well.
Keeping your balance.
Yeah, that's the one.
Cool. We'll jump into it. My first question, it's a little bit of a broader question, but so much of the like resurgence that we're seeing in Te Reo music has kind of been grounded more in acoustic, traditional genre roots. Your releases, they don't stray away from your very polished electronic pop. How has it been intersecting Te Reo Māori into a more kind of global dance landscape for you?
Yeah, it was a really interesting journey because that was kind of the piece, I think, that I was kind of like, oh, is this going to work? And how is it going to work? And how is it going to sound? And how is it going to translate? Like my song, I'm That Bitch, you know, like that's not a word in Te Reo Māori. So like, how do we translate that? How does that, how do we keep the essence of these songs, but then turning them into Te Reo Māori? And yeah, it's been a fun process. And what it's made me realize is that, you know, we can steer away a little bit more from the traditional waiata. And then it does have a place and does fit. And that's kind of an exciting thing for me because now I get to take this with me wherever I go and wherever I travel and get to share it in this new light and in this new kind of space.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. And do you feel like, because there, you know, there is that intersection does already exist in music. But for you, you're kind of, you know, you're breaking some ground here with this, with those intersections. How does that feel?
It feels really good, but it feels correct. I feel like, you know, everything around this release has just happened really organically. And like, I already had it in the pipelines to turn my songs into Te Reo Māori and then just happened to get the funding. By the time I'd re-recorded, it was coming up to Matariki and it was just like, everything just fell into place really naturally and organically. So, the only word that I can describe is that it feels correct.
And you worked alongside a Māori language expert to reimagine the project's lead single, Ego, in Te Reo. What was that experience like? Like, what's the first step in that kind of process? Because I imagine it's one that many people wouldn't even know how it kind of works. I think people think it has a would have a straightforward, but I can't imagine it has a straightforward.
No, it's definitely not straightforward. I was really blessed to work with Hemi Kelly, who was like one of the gods in New Zealand of Te Reo Māori, who we've actually known each other since I was 17 years old. So there was all these really special, beautiful connections along the way that really made this a lot more special for me. And working with him, essentially we had a meeting, we talked about the tracks and the song and then I kind of send him the lyrics and the tracks and then he starts going through this process of then trying to keep the essence and coming up with, you know, the translations, but then you've got cadence, you know, how it fits in the beat. Like there's so many elements to it. So that was really interesting then coming back together and kind of really trying to understand the structure of the songs. And it was ended up being like, obviously he did a lot of the translation, but then there was a lot of collaborative stuff and there was words that we changed out when we're in the studio because they weren't quite working, or it was like too fast for me to be able to sing. And so it was a forever moving kind of thing that we just kind of had to navigate at certain points at that time and then make changes to adapt. So it wasn't just straightforward, like, here's a translation, go into the studio, you're going to re-sing this. It was like, this is working, this isn't, let's change this. And it was very much, he was with me in the studio the whole time. And that was the really interesting part of it, was having to be free to flow.
Mm. Were there any words or phrases in particular that you hadn't had to ruminate on for a while, of like, I'm not sure this translation's working?
Yeah, it wasn't more around the translation. It was more around how, because obviously my songs are very like high BPM. So, you know, doing the vocals really quickly, and then in Te Reo Māori, you know, as well with pronunciation. So there was a lot of repeating myself in the studio over and over and over again until I got it. And then I'd be like, okay, press record, let's go. I've got this, you know. But it was, there was definitely some points where I was getting a little bit frustrated with myself because I couldn't quite get the pace of the words or the cadence right. And then some of my pronunciations, like, I'm pretty good at pronouncing Te Reo Māori, like, that comes naturally, but when you're doing it in a studio environment with fast-paced music, you know, it's a whole nother level.
Now, your songs are often about these, but in particular the Aotearoa Ego, it's centered around confidence, self-belief, you know, about unapologetically taking up space. For you, the intersexuality of your Māoridom and queer identity, how have you found exploring that as an artist, especially through, you know, visuals, because you're such a, like, a visuals forward artist as well?
It's interesting because when you think about ego, what that means in English, and then translating that into Te Reo Māori, it's, you know, it's got that same essence. But for me, it's just reminded me, it's just brought this new life into the song. And if anything, it's kind of just reinforced everything that I was already singing about or why I wrote that song, but taking up more, even more space, you know, in that Te Reo Māori space. And yeah, it's just kind of brought this really special meaning to the song. And like, even when I perform it, it just feels different to me. So it kind of like has reinforced everything.
Yeah, beautiful. And as well, the significance of releasing during Matariki, how'd you find that experience?
I mean, that was just incredible because obviously, like, everyone chooses to celebrate Matariki in their own different ways. And my show that I did last Thursday was really intimate, and I had some of my most favorite people there, and some of my closest friends, and, you know, and I feel like that was the most special way for me to kind of like really release this. And the first time I've performed those three tracks in Te Reo Māori as well. And like, it was really interesting. I got quite emotional around it. And so it was really a beautiful way to start my Matariki weekend and celebrating.
Yeah. And the one of the singles was supported through New Zealand On Air, as you said earlier in the kōrero, it was a Waiata grant. But the other two were self-funded by you. I mean, that is a real commitment to kind of expanding Te Reo Māori in contemporary electronic music.
100%. And like, I got that funding, which was so amazing. But like, I was already in talks with Hemi before I got that funding about doing the translation. So the process had kind of already started around figuring out what tracks I wanted to do. And so regardless, I was going to self-fund doing some translations anyway. And then when I got that money to obviously do Ego, I was like, okay, well, I don't just want to release one. I want this to be this body of work. And so, you know, up until then, everything that I've done, I've self-funded. You know, that's my first time I've ever been given any kind of funding. So, I mean, it was great because obviously it was towards a project that I feel really connected to and was really special. So I'm glad that it was for that. But it's hard being an artist, you know, and trying to make money and trying to fund your projects. And, you know, it's a lot of hustle. It's a lot of grind. And but we made it happen.
And that's the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, I want to sidestep ever so slightly because the 2026 Aotearoa Music Awards, I mean, you made some conversation happen. You had amazing outfit, like super bold, and you had that Protect the Dolls statement on you. And it sparked a lot of discussion online and throughout the industry. I mean, you're not afraid to combine music with advocacy. And do you think that's especially important nowadays? I mean, it's always important, but with the kind of political climate we're in Aotearoa?
It's really interesting you say that because, like, I've never really been someone that's been a specifically political person or like being heavily involved in politics and stuff like that. Like, I think the government's like a playground of children that are fighting against issues that, you know, don't really matter. But at that time, me and Miss B had released our song Down to Chaos, which was all about celebrating, you know, queerness and people that don't fit in. And it just happened to land on that same week that they were trying to pass this legislation, you know, towards our trans community. And then at the same times was the AMAs, and it was just like, in that moment I was like, this is my moment to stand up for our trans community. I've got so many trans friends. And I kind of always thought that, you know, if I was ever given a platform, that I would use it. And not in a way where it's like, you know, what I did was very on brand. You know, for me, what I did with the AMAs is about branding. You know, it's who I am as an artist, pushing boundaries, stepping outside, you know, the comfort zone that a lot of us kind of conform to in New Zealand. And I just thought, here is a chance for me to kind of make a statement. And my friend said to me one day, because I was talking about politics, and I was like, you know, I'm not really political. And she was like, babe, you realize that just by being you and doing what you do in your music is political on its own. And I was like, actually, you're so right. And that kind of changed my perspective on it. So I just used that opportunity to speak, you know.
And I think that's an interesting thing, you know. I think a lot of people go like, oh, I'm not a very political person, but that doesn't stop them from having political beliefs or what we think is like protecting trans people. It shouldn't be a part of politics. It should be a given, you know.
It just shouldn't, you know, I shouldn't have had to go and do that and wear that on me, you know, like, but I will. You know, and I'll do that for our trans community, and being a queer person and knowing what it's like, especially in Aotearoa, you know, we're such a small country, we're not as progressed, you know, and then we think we are, and then these things come up that make us feel like we're coming into this place of feeling like we're America, you know? And that's a scary thing because we are so small and we've always kind of felt somewhat a little bit more protected, and then these things happen and then it's just kind of like, oh my gosh, like, this cannot be what's happening. And so I've always said that if I was given a platform to be able to speak, then I would, for the things that matter to me.
Yeah, and you're right. It's that we think that everything's fine. Oh, we have this like idea that we're a progressive country, but if you don't keep fighting for it, you lose it.
Yeah,
you know, it disappears slowly in the background.
For sure, and it's a fight that's been happening for a very long time. You know, and like I always come back to the people that fought before me. You know, through the AIDS pandemic and all of those things, those are the people that paved the way for me. And so now I feel like my duty as an artist and as a queer person in Aotearoa is to pave the way for the next generation and be a voice for them.
Yeah, exactly. And you're doing so much of that through your music and even, you know, creating those inclusive dance floors, which is a huge thing. How is it? It's my final question. We'll wrap up, running out of time a little bit. But dance floors in Tamaki, how do you find them? Do you find that there needs to be more of a push to be like, we need safer spaces in the clubs, in venues, and for people to be themselves in those spaces?
I think so, but I think we're also doing a really amazing job right now. Like, there's so many incredible events out there. You've got Sir, you've got The Naked World, you've got all of these events that are doing so much to be really inclusive spaces. And so at the same time as I feel like there's always room to do more, I also feel like we're in a really special place right now where a lot of the events and music gigs and stuff like that are doing way more to make sure they're inclusive, that they have more diversity on their lineups, that they having spaces that feel safe for everyone, you know. So I feel like we're in a really special little moment right now where that is a big focus for a lot of things happening.
Yeah, beautiful. Now, Faimara, it's out everywhere now. It's out on Bandcamp as well there, and you can purchase it there. What's the timeline for the other releases looking like for you?
So we've got a big year ahead. I'm planning a little tour at the moment. I've got a couple of collaborative singles coming out. But yeah, Find My Da's out. I'm just going to bask in that right now while I focus on the rest. But we've got a bit of a busy year that I'm planning ahead. So yeah, there's definitely a couple of more fun releases on their way.
Thank you so much for joining me on the program. It's been lovely to record it all with you.
Thank you.
Cool. Here it is on Radio 1, 91 FM, Arden, England, with Find My Da. You are tuned into Radio 1 and you'll continue being tuned into Radio 1. It's 9:48 a.m. Enjoy this track.
Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.